Y'all here? Okay, thank you for staying the second hour. I really appreciate it. Excuse me. I'm on the back side of your outline, so if you'll look there with me, and then turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. I was really impressed with David calling me and saying, "You told us to bring what you gave us the last time, and what I gave you the last time was this." And I told you the last time, would you please bring it? And I'd forgotten all about it, so it was very impressive. Okay, 2 Peter. Okay, chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of our God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and a virtue knowledge, and a knowledge temperance, and a temperance patience, and a patience godliness, and a godliness brotherly kindness, and a brotherly kindness love. For if these things be in you and should abound, they make you that you shall never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give all diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fail. Okay, and the things that he's talking about are the attributes that God has given us. Okay, can you go to the backside of the outline? You look at that. Okay, I am there where it says 2 Peter 1, 3 through 10. Now, interact with me. On the top side of that chart that refers to 2 Peter 1, you have number one, human person. Number 1A is divine nature. Number 1B is divine attributes. Okay, those are eternal. Now, go on the bottom side of that chart and you've got 1, 2, 3, human nature, human attributes, and that's very temporal in nature, okay? Now, I've tried to duplicate the two graphs, but you'll notice they're just the opposite. Notice where the perforated lines are or where the checkered lines are when it comes to mankind. It's on the top side, top side, isn't it? Okay, so how long have you been human? Well, all your life. How long have you participated in the divine nature? That's the top part of the graph. Well, since you've been born again. So you received the opportunity of participating in the divine nature. You don't possess it, you participate in it, and you've been given a divine set of attributes. I'm sorry. That occurred at the time of salvation. Now, very, very few people ever come to the realization that they have two things going for them as a result of salvation. You have been made a participant in God's divine nature. You don't possess it. You're participating in it. And the way that you demonstrate that is with a certain set of attributes that God has given you. Now, attributes tell how the nature is working. The attribute of this pew is it's comfortable. The pew's comfort is telling us how the nature of this pew works. The comfort attribute of this pew is telling how its nature works. Okay, you have been made a participant in God's divine nature, and he has given you a set of attributes to demonstrate that you're functioning with his divine nature. That's practical Christianity. Now, I contend this. I contend that you're not going to understand orthopraxy till you understand orthodoxy. That's why we began with doctrine this morning. We began with doctrine, right truth. Orthodoxy means right truth. Orthopraxy means right living. Right. That would be a good analogy. Yes. Now, fortunately, in this passage, God has said, here are my attributes that I want you to practice because that shows you possess, that shows you participate in my divine nature. So you're in the pew. You're enjoying the comfort of the pew. You're enjoying that attribute of the pew. Okay, you have been given the privilege of participating in the divine nature to demonstrate how it is that the attribute of being in the divine nature contributes to your Christian well-being. So your pew analogy is pretty good. Real loud, ma'am.
Don't you think we were given this the second that we surrendered and gave our life to Christ and put our faith in what he did for us?
Instantaneous. Mm-hmm. Right. Oh yeah. Right. And you got it. You're hitting the nail on the head. And I'm going to give you the attributes, which I've already read, okay? And that's where the Christian life comes in, and that's where we demonstrate that we're participating in God's divine nature, because we're revealing those attributes in the same way when we commit ourselves to the nature of this couch, we're enjoying the comfort of that couch. We're enjoying its attribute. Okay, now, yes, ma'am.
But you don't know that until you
I'm sorry?
You don't know that until you participate.
Exactly. Right. Right. And I've got all the participation. excuse me. I got some of the participation here. Okay, now, this is good. I like you asking questions. I like you making comments because I don't cover all the bases and I don't have the right verbiage all the time. And all of a sudden, somebody can come up with the same verbiage, only stacked up a little different. Everybody's lights will go on. That's what I'm after. So don't be afraid to jump in. Okay? Okay, so you do understand how this chart up here of Jesus is a flip-flop down here to us. It's just the reverse. The dotted lines indicated that you became a participant in the divine nature and the divine attributes at a point in time, salvation. That's when you received the privilege of participating in the divine nature that is demonstrated with a particular set of attributes at the time of salvation. Now, again, to repeat myself, very few people ever really get to catch on to this information and see that their relationship to the Trinity has everything to do with their relationship to the Trinity on a practical basis. So, again, I contend that you can't understand the Christian life without understanding the Trinity. Now, it's not easy to understand because I've given you terms that we have a tendency to mix up. I'm going to give you a test. How many natures are in this room?
Fewer than less.
Very good. But it's still the same nature. What is it? Corrupt, fallen humanity. Okay? Our bodies still have to catch up with the salvation thing. Okay? And that's at the rapture of the church. In the meantime, divine attributes. Go ahead.
Tell me what
Well, I'll give you one thing that's the strongest, I believe. At the moment of salvation is when God starts becoming your heavenly Father. Because in John chapter 3, Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born from above. That's the literal translation. You must be born from above. And at the moment of salvation is when God the Father started becoming your heavenly Father. There is no such thing as the universal fatherhood of God and the universal brotherhood of man. It's theologically unsound. It is heresy. God does not become your Father till you accept the Son. At that very moment, He becomes your heavenly Father.
And that can't change.
No. There's the three enemies that you can succumb to, but you have a way out of dealing with those three enemies. Well, in other words, you can't lose your salvation.
Yeah, that's the point.
Exactly. That's the point.
Jesus said, no one can take them out of my hand.
Nope. My Father who gave them to me is greater than they. Okay.
Well, that's what John 17 says.
Yeah. Sure. Good. Okay, good input. I got some questions for you in a little bit, though. Okay, would you please go back to 2 Peter chapter 1 and look at verse 3. Verse 3. According to his divine power, has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Now notice he says, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Now, did he leave anything out there when he said life and godliness? No, that's the whole sum total. That's everything. That's the Christian life, life and godliness. Look at this. How do I get that divine power that gives me all things that pertain unto life and godliness? How do I get that? Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have been called to glory and virtue, and that knowledge that we have of the Lord Jesus Christ is what indicates we're participating in the divine power. Okay, now look at verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be what? Finish it. Participating or partakers in the divine nature. You do not possess it, okay? And the reason I keep hounding on that is because we're not Mormons, okay? Mormons believe that at some point in time you're going to become a little God, and that is not true. So we become participants in the divine nature. Notice this, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Let me ask you a question. How did you escape the corruption of the world that comes by way of lust? How did you escape that?
Through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Okay. Very definitive. You're right. You're on the right trail. You escape that at the time of salvation. Okay. Now, do we behave that way?
Not always.
No, we're kind of caught up in it, aren't we? Okay. But now recognize that when you realize that you're a participant in God's divine nature, you're participating in his divine nature, you can deal with the corruption that is in your flesh that comes by way of strong lust. You can deal with that. But you have to deal with it according to his divine attributes. Now listen real close. Attributes describe how the nature is working through the person. So I know if you're participating in God's divine nature by your intellect, will, and emotions. You can tell me that you're participating in God's divine nature by your intellect, will, and emotions because you're a person. You give it to me in your conversation. You give it to me in your body language. You give it to me in your relationship to other people as to how well you're participating in the divine nature. One more time. The attributes tell how the nature is working through the person. And you have a personality. You have an intellect, will, and emotions. You've been given the privilege of participating in the divine nature. Now, would you tell us, by way of your person, that the divine attributes of God are working? Tell us that. You do that in living. Okay, now, what are his divine attributes? Go back to verse 3.
Can I add one more thing?
Yes, ma'am.
Psalm 139,
Oh, yeah, yeah. And we can ask and he'll tell us what's doing, what we're doing right. Yeah. Go ahead. I know whereof you're speaking, and I know why you're speaking. I would say, no, we can fall under the control of sin. The beautiful thing is that we can get out from underneath that. That's the beautiful thing. Yeah. Okay, now again, look at verse 4. Verse 4, he says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Okay, now look at this. And besides this, how many of you have that in your translation? And besides this, you have another translation there? The first part of verse 5. What do you have?
For this very reason.
For this very reason, okay. That's good. Okay, and besides this, or for this very reason, here's what you're to do. Because of verse 4, because of verse 3, because you're involved in God's divine power, because you're involved in God's divine nature, here's what you need to do. Give all diligence to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Those are divine attributes that God wants you participating in. God wants you to say, here's how you can reveal my nature. Here's how you can reveal the fact that I am functioning, you're functioning with my divine power. Here's how you can reveal that you're functioning with my divine nature. Start off with faith and start adding to faith, these different things. And as you add these things to your faith, you're actually going to be living that. How many of you have patience?
I have more than he does.
How many of you need to work on patience? All do, okay. So if you're not patient, you're not representing the divine nature of God that well. So here you have, Peter talks about addition. He's talking about taking one thing and adding to it, and then take that second thing and add a third thing, and then add a fourth, and then add a fifth, and add a sixth, and then he ends up by saying, here's the apex of it all, love. Now listen real close. These attributes, besides the last one, are they're not eternal. The last one is eternal, love. The ones previous to love are those things that are God saying to us, these are the set of attributes that I want you to live. These are the set of attributes I want you to live. And then I'm going to throw in an eternal one, love. Now, where does Paul start in Ephesians 5? The fruit of the Spirit is love. He starts with love. Okay, now here's the difference between Paul and Peter. Both men, 2 Peter 1, Galatians chapter 5, both men give us eternal love. Let me correct myself for a moment. Both men give us attributes that God says comes from my eternal being that I want you to live. Here's what Peter does. He takes a piece of pie and he puts one piece in it. And then he adds another piece, another piece, another piece, another piece. And that's called inductive. The Apostle Paul gives you the whole pie and then he subtracts from it. Okay? That's deduction. In both cases, you've got a divine set of attributes that come from a divine, eternal God that he wants you to live day by day. That's participating in his divine nature. So you have the barometers that you need. You have the measurements that you need. You have all those things that speak well of a Christian and speak well of the fact that you're participating in God's divine nature. Very, very important. Now, notice where Peter goes. If you miss everything else and what we're saying here at this hour, please don't miss this. Would you look at verse 8? For if these things, would you tell me what these things refers to? These things, what do they refer to? Come on.
What he just listed.
Yeah, what he just wrote in verses 5, 6, and 7. Those things, those attributes. For if these things be in you and abound, notice that, abound, they make you that you shall never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of who? Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this. But he that lacks these things is blind. So you have no insight. Hang on to this. If these things are lacking in you, you have no insight. And then he goes on and says, is blind and cannot see afar off. You don't have any foresight. You can't see down the road. And then he says, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. That's hindsight. Look back at what you left. Look back at what Jesus Christ did for you. He took care of your old sins. He purged you from that. That's hindsight. And then he says in verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give all diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if these things be in you, you shall never fall. And there he's talking about oversight. Number one, these things will give you insight. These things will give you foresight. These things will give you hindsight. These things will give you oversight. Got you covered, doesn't it? Okay, question. When are we going to start? It doesn't make any difference where you are. It's when you decide to start. And you got Paul saying, let me show you what the deductive relationship is that you have with the Spirit of God by the fruit of the Spirit. And Peter says, let me show you what the inductive relationship is that you have with the Spirit of God. Paul says, here's the whole pie, take it piece by piece. Peter says, start with this piece, and then add this piece. And by the time you get done, you got a whole pie. In both cases, these are divine attributes that God wants you to live. Orthopraxy. How many of you fly off the handle real quick? Temperance. Hold on, let me see one more here. Brotherly kindness. Oh, that's a good one. Do you let people rub you the wrong way? Be careful. You're entering into the realm of hypocrisy. Realistic ideas, aren't they? Realistic, livable ideas. Okay, let me close with this. There was a teacher that approached her school students, about drawing a picture of anything they wanted to draw. These are little third and fourth grade children. So each child pulls out a piece of paper and a pencil and they start this picture that the teacher wanted them to do. So about 30 minutes into the assignment, the teacher walked over to one little boy and said, what are you drawing? And the little boy says, I'm drawing God. And the teacher says, well, how can you do that? Nobody knows what he looks like. Little boy said, well, they will when I get done. What do you look like? What do you look like? Better question. What does God look like? He looks like you insofar as you're living his divine attributes that he has assigned us to. That's the revelation of God. That's the nature of God coming out through you in the form of attributes. Attributes tell how the nature is working through the person. And God is not going to allow anything vile and unclean to pass through his nature. That's why he said, Peter, you do it inductively. Paul, you do it deductively. To give these people the attributes that they need to show me and my glory. Let's pray. Father, we are rich we have riches untold. And so, Lord, what we need is not a motivation. Motivation, we should throw that word out of our vocabulary. We need determination. That is, just sit right down on it and say, no, this is the way I'm going to live. These are the things that please my Heavenly Father. These are the things that represent the Lord Jesus Christ, and these are the things that the Spirit of God can bring to pass in my life. So, Lord, I want them. Help me to appreciate deeply who you are and what you are and how it is that you exist. That's your divine nature represented in three persons. And how you shared that with us. You've not given us your eternal attributes except love. We don't have omniscience. We don't have omnipotence. But you've given us some eternal attributes that specifically pertain to human beings. And then you've been so very, very gracious and have given us one that is eternal, your great love. We need brotherly kindness. We need patience. We need godliness. We need temperance. We need love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness. We need all those things that have no law associated with it, but just the freedom of the Spirit, your Holy Spirit, to move within our lives, to bring these things to pass. Work it out, Lord. Work it in. And, oh God, help us to really desire to present you and your Son and your Holy Spirit in your one nature. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Thank you, folks. Appreciate you.